talked to my wife the other night, and on the last Saturday before I came here, I spent 3.5 hours out on a farm where we have a harvest fest the fourth Saturday of September every year. We have it's a 40-acre parcel. We have like a big carnival, a big tent that seats over 2,500 people. We had over 2,100 teenagers there. Dr. Ron Comfort preached, along with Evangelist Dwight Smith, shared the preaching. They preached three times to them. There were 74 salvation decisions. And Dr. Comfort preached a message on purity. You know, they said the best they could tell, there was over 1,900 decisions by teenagers on purity. And just a tremendous God's blessing out there, and had a tremendous time. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs." And notice it doesn't say they're frogs, but says they're like frogs, some kind of a reptilian creature. "Come out of the mouth of the dragon," which is Satan, "out of the mouth of the beast," the Antichrist, "and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Look at verse 16. "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Have you ever wondered, as I have, about what could Satan possibly do? What kind of deception could he pull off that could convince most of the people of the world toward the end of the tribulation there that they could actually go to battle against God himself? But that's what they're going to do. What could he possibly do to deceive them into thinking they could actually go to battle against God? Well, that's a question I hope we're going to be able to give you an answer for over the next hour. Tonight we're going to be speaking on the subject of what about UFOs? Fasten your seatbelts, folks. The ride we're about to take you on is going to get a little bit scary, okay? So just hang on. Well, there are only four important questions in life. There's the philosophical worldview questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Did life evolve by time and chance? The evolution worldview says we're just here by accident for no purpose. God says he created us for a purpose and he loves us. How do we know we are alone in the universe? And many people wonder that question. Did life evolve out there before it did down here? And many of the world today believes this, that it really did. Now, we're going to use the scientific method tonight. And by using the scientific method, we're going to go through, and at first you define your problem, you put it in the form of a question, then you gather information. So we're going to just ask the question tonight, and then we're going to do some gathering of information, just see what we can find out about this UFO phenomenon. Then we form a hypothesis, or we come up with, by looking at all the information, we try to come up with an answer to answer our question. What would be a good possible answer based on the evidence? Then we test it. We think of ways to test our hypothesis, actually to try to prove it wrong. So think of the test you could perform that would prove your hypothesis wrong and put it to the test. Now, this past week, starting on Monday night, we've been looking at the seven subtleties of Satan, that old serpent. If this UFO deception is satanic in origin, as many believe it is, then we should be able to test it by these seven things that God said Satan will use to deceive folks. And we're going to do that. But if you analyze the data after you do your test, then you repeat the work, and if it holds up for a long period of time, it can be regarded as a law of science using the scientific method. Now, defining your problem, let's ask the question, what is the truth about UFOs? We're going to be in a search for the truth about UFOs, looking at the many things tonight. And then we're going to gather information and see if we can come up with an answer for that. Now, sometimes when people form a hypothesis, they have their hypothesis before they actually gather all the evidence. Now, they think they've kind of got it figured out, and they haven't even heard all seen all the evidence yet. So they kind of get things switched around. I want to challenge you tonight to kind of set aside what you've believed about UFOs in the past and be willing to take a fresh look at them. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him." So, but in many times, people will kind of form an opinion, have their own opinion about this, and this is what they think. They haven't really seen all the evidence yet. So, we want to let you hear a lot of evidence tonight. And then looking at all this evidence, let's see what we can come up with some kind of a decision about this question. What's the truth about UFOs? We've got these TV shows, we've got movies, books, all kinds of magazines. I think there's like 5,000 publications out about UFOs. So let's gather some information. Did you know that many stories and many of the stuff about UFOs are hoaxes? Now, this is in a studio. There's a photographer here taking a picture of this little thing right here. And then later, it ends up in that photograph. So we know that many of them are hoaxes. We've got proof that people have faked things. You can take a little UFO, like put it on a little piece of fishing line, hold it outside a car window or something, take a picture of a building, and you can see that UFO up there in the sky, and it'll look real. But so there are some hoaxes. We know that for sure. So here's one possible answer. We know that people have admitted they've made fakes. So some of them are hoaxes. So we have to add that in the evidence. That's part of it. Oftentimes, though, people kind of zero in on one thing, and they think, well, this is the answer to UFOs. And well, it may be more complicated than that. There may be a number of things that we can put in here. But that is one of them. Another is, does the government have secret military craft? I know one man, and he's a creationist, but he is totally convinced, oh, it's just our own government that's experimenting with these secret craft, and that's what this whole thing is. Area 51, Groom Lake Testing Area, New Mexico. Here's one of the signs there, no trespassing, no photography is prohibited, but we got a few shots here anyway. Here's a military installation. Of course, we don't go on the grounds, of course, to get any close-ups. This is one of the surveillance equipment they have out there, and they haven't really figured out exactly what that thing is, but they have high security. Not only do they have these helicopters, these black helicopters flying around, these guards everywhere, they have these security sensors out here in the terrain, on the ground, hidden. If people walk through this area, this will pick up, sense them and pick it up. So it's high security area. This is an aerial photograph you see of Area 51 right here compared to the surrounding areas. Satellite image of the buildings in Area 51. There's another image there. There's a kind of a rare photograph a little bit closer. There's some of the buildings. That's quite a lot closer. This is an experimental craft that was photographed taking off on a runway at Area 51. A triangular-shaped object that, let's see, is this one of ours? Is that somebody else's? But that's kind of a square there. But I've got photos that we'll be looking at of these triangular-shaped things. I suspect I showed one this morning when they talked about the Friendly Skies of United, and showed a triangular-shaped UFO, and it looks just like that. So I think that might be a good answer. I think some of the things that people are seeing is our military is working with some secret military craft. I don't know how many of you knew this, but we have a craft already that we can go from like zero to Mach 2 speed and defies the laws of gravity. It's not even thrust anybody backwards. We already have this anti-gravitational device the military has been working with. And some people have found out about it. Dr. Hoban has quite a bit of information about that craft. How about things like this? It looks like a UFO. What about those strange lights at sunset? Could there be a natural explanation for those? Yeah, there could be. And there are some things that have been, if it's unidentified, if you don't know what it is, it's unidentified and it could be flying. But sometimes there is natural phenomena and people have mistakenly identified as being a UFO. So that could be another possibility. That there's just illusions or explainable phenomenon. So we'll add that into the equation. That's part of some of what's going on. Many photographs and videos have been made. I wish I could get this thing to work so I could show you some of the video footage. I have hundreds of them, but that one doesn't work. That's one that's supposed to be working. And I thought I had that one out there. Here we go. Here's a photograph taken in Switzerland in 1975. There's one that this fellow has a lot of these. I've got a video footage of one coming in like this, going around a tree and coming back out and taking off. There's one over Neenah, Wisconsin. Mexico City. I have video footage on that one, going behind the buildings and so on, 1997. There's one there. There's one that I had of that thing going around the tree and taken off again. I have video footage of that. How about this one here? Now, all of these fake, are people actually getting photographs of these things? This is an Apollo spacecraft photo. I have video footage of this thing that all of a sudden just takes off and disappears. So our Apollo spacecraft that's up in space, they've taken photos of them. Many of our astronauts claim to have seen them. Gordon Cooper, James Lovell Jr., Frank Borman, Edward Buzz Aldrin, Walter Schirra, Neil Armstrong, John Baha, all these men, I have documentation from them, quotes they've made about their sightings of UFOs. There's been widespread belief. Now, the beliefs have been changing over the years. It used to be that a few people believed in it, now more people have believed in it, and the data is also sometimes confusing, but today they say approximately 57% of Americans say they believe in UFOs. That means 43% of Americans say they don't believe in UFOs. But does that mean they don't believe anything is going on? Or does that just mean they don't believe in aliens from another planet? Well, I find that's often the case. I may talk with a pastor, and I'll say, "Pastor, do you believe in UFOs?" They say, "I don't believe in that nonsense." And I'll say, "Well, I think it's satanic deception." He said, "Well, so do I." Now, if you would ask him, if he'd be one of the people they polled to see, "Do you believe in UFOs?" he would have said no. Well, it's not that he doesn't believe something's going on. He just doesn't think of the little green men from another planet, which I don't either. So polls can be misleading. In fact, you can, depending on the question you ask, you can make polls say anything you want them to by asking the right questions or not asking some questions. But 15% of Americans say they believe they have seen a UFO. That's over 25 million people. My son saw a UFO and described the thing he saw. I talked to another man here a couple weeks ago, said he saw the same type of thing. Here's a map showing the United States and surrounding territories, these little white dots of where they have been seen around the United States. Now, something significant happened in 1947. Roswell. July 4th, it's interesting, happened on the 4th of July. July 4th, 1947, an object landed near Roswell, New Mexico. Sheriff George Wilcox contacted Roswell Army airfields regarding wreckage discovered on Mac Brazell's ranch. The Army sealed off the area and confiscated all items. July 8th, 4 days later, now remember they've had this stuff to look at for 4 days. Colonel William Blanchard, commander of 509th Bomb Group, issued an official press release stating that the wreckage of a crashed disc had been recovered. It was published in 30 newspapers that afternoon. Within hours, a second press release rescinding the first one was issued from the office of Brigadier General Roger Ramey, commander of 8th Air Force at Fort Worth Army Airfield, Texas, 400 miles away, and I don't think he'd even been there to look at it. But this is what he said. Colonel Blanchard and the officers of the 509th Bomb Group at Roswell had made an unbelievably foolish mistake. Somehow they incorrectly identified a weather balloon in its radar reflector as the wreckage of a crashed disc. Now remember, these military people had been studying this thing for 4 days. After 4 days of study, they said, "We've got a crashed disc here." Then it came out a few hours later, they said, they made a terrible mistake. It's just a weather balloon. Some reports said there were four bodies on the craft. Three were dead, but one was still alive. Here's a continuing mystery. Several questions remain about this incident. If it was just a weather balloon, why was all the evidence confiscated? Why was it still classified 57 years later? Now, today they say they've declassified it. We've had two presidents, Carter and Clinton, both said, this is one thing we're going to get the bottom of. And they couldn't. Four congressmen tried to crack the security code surrounding Roswell, and they failed. They couldn't find out. Now, today they say it's been declassified, but the mystery now is the things that are missing from the declassified information we're allowed to see, like logbooks and stuff that they don't misplace or don't leave out. But there's things missing there of the stuff that they've allowed to be seen. Now, here's Ed Mitchell, Apollo 14. On Dateline NBC in 1996, he said, NASA is covering up what really happened at Roswell, New Mexico. What really happened at Roswell? Well, we really don't know. But you know, there's one thing that happened on exactly 9 months to the day after the Roswell incident. Al Gore was born. Now, think about that. Well, I'll just leave you to draw your own conclusions about that one, but... July 19th to 28th of 1952, Washington, D.C., jets alerted for saucers seen near the White House. There's these little White House, dishes back here. Senior White House, Washington Times Herald. Group of UFOs harassed Washington National Air Force Base, tracked by multiple radars, had to shut down air traffic for several hours. Now, this is the pyramid in Saqqara, Egypt. This right here is from the steps leading up to it. And right there, you see this thing? There's some little horn-like thing, these big eyes. Why, that's a drawing of a UFO being. How did that get in those ancient steps of that ancient pyramid? What about crop circles? This is one that interested me. It has been estimated that over the last 25 years, more than 10,000 of these mysterious images have appeared all over our planet. And here's crop circle sightings, these little round circles right here of all over the place. And now, when they first started appearing, they were just that. They were a circle in crops. It was just the crops were all knocked down in a circle. Well, you think of the thought of natural ways this could happen. And just when we said it was from natural, some kind of a natural phenomenon, they started getting more uniquely designed. Here's one. You see this in the field here. There's another. Look out. Here you see this. Some people standing in those. Some more. There's another one. Let's see. Many have appeared near Stonehenge. Here's when you see Stonehenge in the background. You see the traffic here. And this one here, one of the formations. In July of 1996, a 915-foot spiral of 151 circles appeared near Stonehenge within a 45-minute period. Often, the crops are in an overlapping pattern. Now, there were some men going out with some cables and some tubivores faking these. And there have been cases where people have faked them. But they said, well, we can't do this. And then the time that they said they were doing something in over one place, there was a whole bunch of them showed up the night before somewhere else. And so they had to admit, no, they didn't do that either. But they can't do this. To knock all that down and make the crops overlap in one night and do the unique design that they have. How about that one? Many of them over in England. This one is 1999. It's kind of a little comic book UFO being, I guess. Now, there are some specific symbols that have been seen. Some have been noticed. People who studied ancient cultures in this noticed some things that are similar with ancient Egyptians, and other symbols have been used. Many times, symbols used in the occult. Here, let's go see here. Now, remember, this is crops. This is just all knocked down in the middle of a field of crops. Unique design there. Here's the Great Pyramid, the sun behind it. There's a pyramid with the all-seeing eye, 2002. This one here, look at this. See the size of this road right here? See the size of this? That's the UFO being's head and this disc. Kind of looks like this image that was on an old Watcher website, UFO group. Now, here's some facts about crop circles. UFOs are often seen in the area with crop circles. I have some video footage. I don't know if it's been faked or not, but it shows these two kind of smaller UFOs circling around in this field, and all of a sudden, underneath of them, a crop circle starts forming right underneath the UFOs, and then they take off. Sometimes the circle is soaked in a red liquid cadmium. Sometimes the vegetation is dissolved. Sometimes it's like the microwave energy. The crops, the stems and stuff, have been blown out from the inside out. The composition of the soil is often changed. They said you can't do that without like microwave energy up to at least 1,500 degrees to change it like that. People who enter the circle are often found to come down with flu-like symptoms. Some of them tried going out into a field where they were, got very, very sick. They thought they might be dying. Then they finally cleared up. They went back. One lady went back like 6 months later, got sick again. Then waited another 3 months and tried going out in her field, and then she was okay. But sometimes they find an oily, black, sweet-smelling substance on the crops. Sometimes find material composed of elemental silicon. The interesting thing about this one is it's such a pure form that we can't reproduce it. Sometimes people see 7-foot-tall, round-faced beings in metallic coveralls in connection with these. Circle-affected crops have shown biological changes taking place at a cellular level, suggesting the level of microwave energy. Crop circles can alter the local electromagnetic field so that compasses cannot locate north, cameras, cellular phones, and batteries fail to operate, and aircraft equipment fails while flying over the formation, just like they do in Bermuda Triangle, in a place like this. Some crop circles form in broad daylight in front of several witnesses. This past summer, there was a farmer, last summer, a farmer in Michigan, standing with several of his friends, and these crop circles started forming in front of them while they're watching it. They all have their own breakfast cereal also. I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, what about cattle mutilations? This is another part of this UFO phenomenon. I don't know if this was real or not. See, this one, beam me up, Scotty. These cattle, parts have been surgically removed with no blood. There'll be a small incision. The internal organs often removed. Sometimes they've had all the skin removed. There's no blood on the ground in the animal. And the internal organs are still there. But when they remove the internal organs, the amazing thing about this, the doctors and scientists that have studied this say whoever did this went between the cells when they removed it. We can't even do that. Now, the Cattlemen's Association, they think they just want beef. That's what their aliens want. They're going to steal our cows for. So, alien spacecraft, that's what many people say. This is a possible. They think aliens are here visiting our planet, and multitudes, probably the majority of the people of the world today are convinced of this. They're here. You know, and they have, it's interesting, they have all these new programs coming out all the time, you know, about the UFOs and stuff. Could there be intelligent life on other planets? I think I mentioned this, but the one lady asked me one night, do you think they're able to find the signs of intelligent life on other planets? And I told her, I've read the science books here, and I don't think there's a lot of intelligent life on this planet. But did life evolve on other planets? Did they have an ape-like ancestor? Now, the SETI organization, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, these are a group of scientists, intelligent messages are created only by intelligent beings. And as I said, after reading the textbook, I'm not sure there's a lot of intelligence down here, but that's what they're looking for, signs of intelligence out there. Day number one, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, meaning space, and the earth. By the way, when it says, in the beginning, now, the evolutionists try to figure out, where did space, time, matter, and energy all come from? They try to say it came from a big explosion. When you had an explosion with no energy, but created energy. You know, how can you have an explosion without energy? No. And if you didn't have any matter, what exploded? But that's what they're teaching. You know, that's one of their ways they explain it. But the first verse in the Bible tells you where space, time, matter, and energy all came from. In the beginning. You know, that has reference to time. Time has three dimensions, past, present, and future. When it says heaven, it's in the singular, in the King James way it's supposed to be, because it's talking about space. He made literal space in this physical universe. And space has three dimensions, length, height, and width. And when it says the earth, it was without form and void at that point. It was just matter. Matter has three dimensions, liquid, solid, and gas. And to create anything takes an enormous amount of energy, and God has an inexhaustible supply. That's not a problem with him. But to think that nothing did it by itself without help, I have a problem with that. But God can do that. So we have a trinity of trinities right within the first verse that explains space, time, matter, and energy for us, if they just believe the Bible. Day number four, the Bible says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. Let them be for signs, for seasons, and days, and years. This included not only the sun and moon, but all the planets, all the stars, on day four. Well, let's see. The Bible says in 6 days, literal 24-hour days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is in those 6 days. But we have God making the earth on day number one and the other planets on day number four. So which came first? Earth. And they want us to believe, though, evolution says, well, life evolved out there before it did here. But they weren't even around. And if you use long periods of time, like they try to say, in between those days, then you got a big problem with that. God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. Folks, the Bible indicates when you get to the end of day six, just before God created man, by the way, we think he created man late in the afternoon, because we know it was just a little before Eve, but when you get to that point, everything he had created up to that point, God indicates he created it for our benefit. And this idea, this goes completely against all of that. That we're his special, unique creation. He made all that for our benefit. He was forming it so we could inhabit it here. And the idea of having some life evolving out there somewhere, that doesn't fit. Because he just put all those other things out there for our benefit. Many today do not believe UFOs come from another planet, but from another dimension. People who study the paranormal have got quotes by a number of these stating that many of us don't think they come from another planet. We think they come from another dimension. They're just able to materialize. Now look at this statement here. In Jacques Vallée's book, Masters of Messenger of Deception, he says, UFOs may not come from ordinary space, but from a multi-universe, which is all around us. Military radar has never recorded a UFO entering our atmosphere. UFO beings are not who they claim to be. That's one thing you need to understand. They are not who they claim to be. I'm going to give you one example of that. A number of years ago, there's a man living out in California, and he said one morning, he was in his office, and he kind of glanced out the window, and here's this UFO outside his window. He was a number of floors up. And he realized there were some beings on this UFO. And they were looking at him, and all of a sudden he heard words in his mind. And it startled him. He realized this, whoever these things are, they're communicating with him. They told him they were from the planet, whatever it is out there somewhere, millions of light years from Earth. And they just came to, we want you to know we're coming in a peaceful invasion one day soon. And they told him a bunch of stuff about like that. We're not here to harm you. We mean peace. We want to bring peace to your world. Then this being supposedly told him, this morning, your brother's dog died in New York. And then it was gone. Well, what does he automatically do? Grabs his phone. Calls his brother in New York. Hey, Bill, did your dog die this morning? And Bill says, well, yeah, how did you know? He says, you're not going to believe this. I don't either. Okay? Yeah, this guy was, this being was out there millions of light years from Earth sitting around the coffee table one morning, and he said to his wife, honey, you busy this afternoon? Well, there's this guy down there on the planet Earth millions of light years away, and he doesn't know his brother dog died on the other side of the planet this morning, and I thought we'd take a little drive down there and tell him. No, I don't think that for a second. No, whoever they are, they're not who they claim to be. Okay, they're deceivers. I think, according to what the Bible tells us, the information we gather from God's Word, aliens live on another planet. I don't think that can be one of the answers. I think we need to eliminate that one. I don't think that's a possible answer. Is there another possible answer? About 3% of Americans claim they have had an abduction experience. That's over 5 million people. Oh, you saw that one? In case some of you missed that, let's go back. In case you missed a little cartoon there on the side, we'll abduct for food. UFO encounters are also highly characteristic of demonic encounters. As I said, this group of people who study the paranormal, they've noticed the parallels and similarities between these alien abduction stories and demon possession. Just something to gather in our information gathering here. There is an impressive parallel between UFO occupants and the popular conception of demons. It's another one. Their appearance and odor that comes from that. By the way, I'll just throw this in. Some people ask me, what about Bigfoot? I told the one lady, she said, do you believe in Bigfoot? I said, yes, ma'am, my son has two of them. But this creature that walks around, all hairy creature, there's supposedly, he's about 7 foot tall, and there's an odor that comes. People smell this odor first often. Well, there's some parallels there with demons also, or fallen angels. And I think, you know what many people are thinking this Bigfoot is? The missing link they're looking for to prove evolution. I think that also is part of satanic deception. I think he's just trying to support some things in some people's minds. Large part of the available UFO literature is closely linked to mysticism and the metaphysical. By the way, I got to show you this. That statement I just read, that's from an official U.S. government document. Large part of the available UFO literature is closely linked to mysticism and the metaphysical. Most, if not all, and I say most just in case there might be one, there's everyone we know of UFO abducted persons have had some past experience with the occult. I read the reports of one doctor, medical doctor, who had treated over 75 patients who claimed to have been abducted. In every reported case we know of, that person had a previous contact with the occult, either dealing with Ouija boards or something like that. I've talked to guys personally that said they could go along and tell you they could agree with that, because before they got saved, that's what they were doing, and they had an experience with UFOs. Here's some of the famous abduction cases. The most famous case probably is the Betty and Barney Hill case. Betty and Barney Hill took place on September 19, 1961, while they were driving back to Portsmouth, New Hampshire from a vacation in Montreal, Canada. They reported that small beings with large heads and eyes abducted them from their car into a landed UFO, then subjected them to numerous medical tests and procedures, after which they were allowed to exit the object and watch it depart. Much of what happened to them, however, they did not recall until much later, when after having many bad nightmares, they were placed under hypnosis. They made a long journey. They thought, boy, it took a little longer than we thought it should. Then they started having some nightmares. Something was giving them nightmares, so they seek a hypnosis, under hypnosis, seek this doctor out to hypnotize them, some of this past life regression thing. So then they recall, then through this hypnosis, things that really happened to them that night that they didn't know before. Well, is it possible that that's where the abduction actually took place, in their mind? Satan has fooled many people with this method. What about near-death experiences? An article from the Florida Today tells of a non-religious man who was in the process of being abducted by aliens, but called out to Jesus, and the abduction stopped immediately. If they were extraterrestrial beings, why would they respond to that name? There have been over 400 such accounts documented. This guy just said he was in there and they were getting ready to use some kind of utensils on him, something to probe him or something, and he screamed, "Jesus, help!" And he was there on his back in bed like nothing had happened. Well, perhaps nothing did happen except in his mind, and that's where this took place. Now, there are cases, though, where the people who have been abducted, there's strange marks on their body. There's different things like this. So there's that. They leave them behind some evidence, maybe just further convince them that maybe something actually did happen. However, there are some things going on with these abductions I want to share with you. But I believe, number five, I think possibly the majority of this can be put down as satanic deception. So let's put it to the test. See, I believe that's the main one. If this is satanic deception, he would probably follow the same pattern he has used in the past. If it does not follow the same pattern he has used in the past, possibly it's not satanic deception. Now we come to the seven subtleties. We mentioned the false messenger of light, message of salvation, false view of God's word, false view of death and judgment, false promise of spiritual enlightenment, false promise of divinity, and false self-determining value system. Let's look at the theology of the UFOs. Did you know they have their own theology? Through their contactees and many of these websites and these New Agers and things, people they contact and supposedly they channel information and stuff and messages, and they're writing this stuff down and recording things, and they have their own doctrine that they're saying who they are, who God is, what the Bible is, and things like this. On a website called The Way, aliens are claiming through their contactees that they are the God of the Bible. They say they are the Elohim. That's the Hebrew word for God. It's a plural word, meaning more than one. So these so-called aliens are claiming that they're the Elohim, the God of the Bible. False messenger of light. Aliens claim to be the ancient progenitors of the human race. They say they put us here to begin with. They claim that human beings were planted here by aliens as part of an experiment or a colonization venture thousands of years ago. Now, some of them say millions of years and fill in evolution there, that they helped us evolve. But others say it was a few thousand years ago. This was the Garden of Eden, and the spacemen have come here to check up on us. The aliens claim they taught prehistoric man how to make fire, so this is one of the millions of years thing. Aliens say man himself can evolve from planet to planet by reincarnation. Maybe someday you can be part of the Elohim. You shall be as gods. Yes, it could happen to you. Aliens say God and Jesus were just spacemen, like themselves. Another Jesus? You're going to hear some more about who they say this Jesus is. Other spacemen will be coming here to save humanity. They're going to be the real saviors of mankind, they say. False message of salvation. Aliens say the major world religions were planted here to meet the needs of different stages of human development and evolution. Aliens claim that the Bible is merely a primitive attempt by man to document their past contact with aliens. That's what they claim. Yea, hath God said? See, their attack, subtle attack on the Bible, making it something that it's not. They say the baptism of Jesus, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Well, they say it wasn't a dove. They said it was like a dove. There was this beam of light that came down upon him. See, and then it beamed him up. And when it says, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, it was like, beam me up, Scotty. That beam of light that came down like a dove took him up, drove him into the wilderness, and put him back down. That's what they're claiming. They take all the different things in the Bible like that, all these, you know, Ezekiel's wheels, all these things, and they say it was just man trying to document his experience with aliens in the past. The aliens say it was necessary to educate humans through various techniques that have been given to spiritual leaders of human history, shamans, prophets, and the mystery school. Humans needed to develop a greater capacity for spiritual understanding before they could receive total enlightenment. And even now, few are worthy. Jesus, along with Buddha and Muhammad, were messengers sent by the aliens to bring enlightenment to the world. Your eyes shall be opened. The aliens say there is no such thing as eternal punishment in hell. You shall not surely die. Satan wants to change the way we think about God, salvation, God's Word, Jesus Christ, ourselves, and eternity. What is reality? What is truth? What is good? What is evil? They're going to give man a new view of all of these things and change their thinking along those lines. Does the Bible have an answer? Could UFOs be satanic deception? There appears to be three types of angelic beings. We have good angels, there are fallen angels, but there are demons. And my pastor told me this about 17 years ago. He told me, I don't know how this came up one day, but he says, our fallen angels and demons aren't the same thing. And he kind of explained it to me. It didn't really mean anything right then. It didn't have anything to relate it to, so I kind of just filed it away at the time. The fallen angels were cast out of heaven with Satan, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. How many were there? Well, God said his angels were innumerable. You can't even number them. I don't know how much a third of innumerable is, but there was a whole bunch of them. Are fallen angels and demons the same thing? Angels can materialize in a physical body. Could fallen angels do the same? If fallen angels can do anything a good angel can, then they could drink. They could eat, drink, take people by the hand, be entertained unawares. Demons or devils are said to be disembodied spirits that seek a body to dwell in. Could demons materialize to be seen but not touched? Demons might be the best explanation for ghosts. They can appear like you can see it, but you can't touch it. There's no material there. When angels appeared, you could touch them. Who are Satan's helpers today? And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now, the Spirit speaking expressly, and this is the verses we read earlier, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And here's the one in Revelation, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. You're starting to get maybe a little bit of an idea of what Satan could do to deceive mankind to think they could go to battle against God. What if Satan told them, well, we're the gods of the universe. Jesus wasn't even God. I've come across some of this information. They're trying to say they sent Jesus here. He failed in his mission. He wasn't even part of the Elohim. But he claimed to be, and they killed him because of that claim. And now they say he's mad at people of earth, and he's going to come back and take out his vengeance on the earth because he's mad because they killed him and didn't accept him as God. So you see what can take place in tribulation when God starts sending the judgments on that? Satan could claim that Jesus is just doing this because he's mad at us. And then they're going to step in as the true gods of the universe, supposedly, and say, if we're going to help you so that we can go to battle against this fake God or false God and give you victory. What would be the best explanation for alien beings? Could fallen angels and demons be a possible answer? There are two types of phenomena going on today in the UFO phenomenon. There are the kind that follow the laws of physics and leave physical evidence behind. But there's another aspect there that does not follow the laws of physics, defies the laws of physics, and leaves no evidence. Well, I think there's two different kinds involved here. If fallen angels beings are satanic deception, we treat this as we do other demonic activity, pleading the blood of Christ in the name of Jesus. Even non-religious people, when they claim, when they say Jesus' name, these things have to obey. So, don't be afraid of this UFO stuff. It's satanic activity. Just realize what it is. Just claim the blood of Christ in the name of Jesus. There is a definite lack of genuine faith in God among the abductees. There is no evidence of a faithful Christian having ever been abducted. What would account for the existence of both demons and fallen angels? Could the answer be in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4? In Genesis chapter 6, it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply." So see, this is at the very beginning stages. There may have been maybe just a few hundred families there on earth at that time. "When men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." Now, does it specify any certain type of men? Notice it just says, "when men began to multiply." "That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." And I believe that the indication in the wording here is that they did it by force. Genesis 6:4 says, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that." So not just in the time of Noah, but after that, there are going to be giants on the earth. "When the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men." Anything about female giants in the Bible? Just male. Why would they only produce male through this union? Just male children. "Which were of old men of renown, high intelligence." Who were the sons of God that married the daughters of men in Genesis 6, 1 and 2? There's two possible main answers given. The first one is some believe that sons of God were the godly line of Seth, and that the daughters of men were the ungodly line of Cain. Well, there's a number of reasons right off the start why I would reject this, but this is one of the Did you know that, by the way, 95% of our Baptist Bible colleges are teaching that view? I know because I've surveyed them myself. And 40 are the best known ones I know of. 95% of the answers that reports I got back, they might let them know there's two views, but they will tell them we believe this view, the Sethite view. Here's the other possible answer. Sons of God were fallen angels, and daughters of men were human beings. Let's put this to the test. The problem with the Sethite view, one thing is, it doesn't explain the offspring. So you can get godly people marrying ungodly today. They're not supposed to, but they sometimes do. Does that produce... Now, they might have little monsters, but they won't be monstrous. Okay. "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that." Giants is the word Nephilim. Nephilim means the fallen ones. Oh, by the way, I'm told, this man, a Jewish man, said, I've got a book called Return of the Giants, written by a Jewish man. He said the word Jordan means area of the descent. That's interesting. "The children produced were very large in size, very high in intellect, and no females." This is one of the skulls we looked at the other night that they found in the fossil record. Now remember, the fossil record was laid down by Noah's flood. So this is telling us what life was there like on earth before the flood, when these giants were there. This guy, they said, was 13 feet tall. Here's one, a thigh bone from a giant that said it was 16 to 18 feet. And we saw the footprints there in Kansas of giants that they said were over 30 feet tall. And the two largest fossil remains of humans they found were 36 feet. Problem number two, the term sons of God itself. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Does anybody question that those are angels? I haven't read anybody that questions. Everybody accepts that. They all say sons of God are angels. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Nobody questions that either. Almost everybody agrees sons of God there are angels. "Why then do many disagree the sons of God who saw the daughters of men in Genesis 6, 1 and 2 were angels? And why were they something different?" Sons of God is the Hebrew words B'nai HaElohim. And this phrase is always used of a direct creation of God. The term sons of God is limited to three categories of beings: angels, Adam, and believers today. here in Luke 3:38, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. He was a direct creation by God himself, had no human father. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. We're a direct spiritual creation of God by means of the new birth. So it's a direct creation of God. Ben Elohim, or sons of God, is contrasted with Benoth Adam, or daughters of men. So you have sons of God versus daughters of Adam. So if you just look at the wording, the words that are used, the terms. Now we want the idea that, yeah, there was a line of good guys, the Sethites. They were the good guys, and they were marrying the daughters of the bad guys, the Canaanites. Then how come the Bible says that all flesh had crept his way before God, except for Noah and his family? One pastor tried to say, well, the Sethites continued on through the flood. I said, you're right, they did. He says, Noah and his sons were Sethites. Yeah, they were. I asked him, I said, do you believe that Noah and his three sons took them wives of all they chose? I don't think so. Each had one wife. So how could you have, if all flesh had corrupted except Noah and his three sons, where was this line of good guys that married the bad guys' daughters? And by the way, if the good guys look at the other guy's daughter and said, boy, they're pretty, does that mean that all the Sethite girls were ugly? Noah and his three sons were Sethites. They were not the only ones, or they were the only ones not corrupted. Did they take the wives of all he chose? And Sethite view was not taught before Christ. Did you know that? It wasn't until quite a bit after Christ they even start teaching this. Before that, it was not. Sethite view was not taught until the end of the 4th century. The angel view was the view that was taught before Christ and for some time after that. It was a traditional rabbinical view, although the Jews have always taught this. In the book of Enoch, 2nd century BC, it teaches the angel view. Testimony of the 12 patriarchs. Josephus Flavius, the Jewish historian, this is from Josephus' writings, whereby they made God to be their enemy, for many angels of God accompanied with women and begot sons that proved unjust and despisers of all that was good, on account of the confidence they had in their own strength. For the tradition is that these men did what resembled the acts of those whom the Grecians called giants. Now there's a footnote here that says, this notion that the fallen angels were in some sense the fathers of the old giant was a constant opinion of antiquity. Josephus said that's what everybody believed at the time of Christ. Now here's seven evidences for the angel view. The early church fathers taught the angel view. Tertullian, Justin Martyr, and here's some other. This is just a few names of some of the early church fathers that taught the angel view. Primary objection is the Bible says angels can't marry. That's the objection I used to have. And I use this in a man challenged me on this. He says, does the Bible say that? Does the Bible say that angels can't marry? Now, in Matthew 22:30, Jesus said this, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given to marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. See, if angels didn't marry, all he had to say was they'll be like the angels of God. But he didn't. He added a qualifying clause, the angels of God in heaven. So angels in heaven, one thing, all the angels in heaven were masculine in gender. And nobody would marry anyway. And what it does say is that angels do not marry in heaven. For one thing, the angels are always revealed with masculine, male names. Who would they marry? God only started with two humans. He had an innumerable host of angels. They didn't have to reproduce. It might also be an indication they weren't supposed to marry on earth either. Some in the New Age movement teach that Genesis 6:4 means that aliens came down and cohabited with human women, giving rise to a hybrid race of giants. There's some other things we get into there, get into Illuminati and all kinds of stuff that's connected to that. But did God send a flood because of sin, or was there a greater problem? So I think Satan's strategy was he wanted to corrupt the whole human race. Why would he do that? No bloodline for the Messiah. Here's two New Testament confirmations of this view. Now, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In Jude chapter 6, it says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness on the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. What was the sin of those angels? going after strange flesh. Now, here's a parallel passage in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You notice how they're tied in, those angels of sin, to the flood of Noah? If he spared not those angels and spared not, if he cast them down to hell and spared not the old world. So he ties them in here to the flood. Then it says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them, making overthrow, making them example unto those that after should live ungodly. So we have, and here it says, when it says, for if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, the word hell there is the word Tartarus. It's only used twice in the New Testament. It means the pit of darkness in the unseen world. In Homer's Iliad, he said this about Tartarus. He said, Tartarus is as far below hell as the earth is below heaven. The bottomless pit, if you will. There's a new Hollywood movie coming out. And I thought this was interesting when I saw an advertisement someplace advertising some new movie coming out. And I wouldn't watch it, but they said this. They said, far down below hell is the cave. And Satan is going to condition mind, but he's got all kinds of stuff going on. You know, he's conditioned minds today. And the angels of sin are connected to two things, Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of the same sin. And not all the angels committed this sin. There wouldn't be enough humans for all of them to take a wife. You know, you have all this innumerable host of angels, a third of them anyway, that got out of heaven. And it said, as men began to multiply. So it wasn't that many. So they couldn't all take a wife. I think Satan chose out certain ones to do this. But then it happened again later, as giants showed up later on again also. And they're males, and I believe they're also sterile. I had one professor who said I was misusing the English language and wrongly interpreting the Word of God there in Genesis 6:4. He said those giants were already there, had nothing to do with that union. I said, excuse me, let's look at this again. You say my English is bad? There was giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when sons of God went into the daughters of men, and children are born under them. That's the only time it says this happened when giants show up, when that happens. They don't reproduce themselves. Angels of God, sons of God, have to marry children of men to produce them. The other names given to giants in the Old Testament seem to confirm this view. Here we have the giants, sons of Anak, the Anakims, which came of the giants. This is also after that. In the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims and Nazareth-Carnaim and the Zuzims and Ham and the Imams and Shabbat, Kiriathaim. Rephaim, from the root word, Rapha, meaning spirits. Imam, proud deserters, terrors, race of giants. Zuzim, the evil ones, roaming things. That also was accounted the land of giants. Giants dwelled there in the old time, and the Ammonites called them Zemzumans, evil plotters. Zophim, watchers, angels who descended, distinct from holy watchers, aligned with God, and the Sephirim, the many. Now, in Greek mythology, they spoke of the Titans, part God and part human, with Atlas and Hercules, be what would be called in the Hebrew Nephilim. Folks, I've come to the conclusion, any kind of mythology that we have today, I believe, ancient mythology, was based on some fact. There were some things there, and it wasn't just made-up stories. There were some things, many people think dragons were mythological, never existed. But the Bible describes them, and God calls him a dragon. What about the ancient legends of the star people, the South Sea Islands and many other places, talked about these star people, gods that came to earth and mated with women and produced hybrids. Demons may be the spiritual being that was produced by the marriages of Genesis 6, whose bodies were destroyed by the flood. I often wonder, I thought for a long, long time, many years, how do you account for demons? And I was looking at the flood one day and thinking about those giants, and I said, well, all the giants were killed in Noah's flood, and then they showed up later when the thing happened again, but I thought, well, where does the spiritual part of them go? I know their physical body, but here we got a spiritual entity that's kind of a crossbreed between an angel and a human, but it's a spiritual body, being. Where do they go? Well, I think they're what we know as demons. They don't have a body, but they want one. Even if, to see, they experience this physical universe once. They don't have a body anymore, but they want one, even if they have to dwell in a herd of swine, just to experience this physical universe. Satan will also have a seed. Did you know that? Genesis 3:15, the first mention of the gospel, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Two seeds are mentioned, seed of the woman, which we know is Christ, but then we have the seed of the serpent. Satan will have a seed also. You know how many movies and books out there about Satan mating with the human and having an offspring? And you know, whatever God has, Satan wants one just like it. God's Son was here through a human instrument. Satan's going to want the same thing. The description given from Daniel's vision. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and the size of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. By the way, when you get down to those feet and the 10 toes, most commentators will tell you that's the revived Roman Empire. I don't think that's true. There may be some symbolism there, but these world groups, the bankers and all this stuff, they've already divided the world up into 10 regions. It's well documented. America is region number one, by the way. But they're part of those. Why would America be? America wasn't part of the Roman Empire. But why are they region one and divide up? By the way, America is divided up in 10 regions also. Chicago actually is capital city of one of those regions. That was like 10 years ago they did that, I think, between 10 and 15 years ago. So we have, you see, these represented the Babylonian Empire, you know, the Medo-Persian, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. But there's one empire that hasn't happened yet. The feet of iron and clay. Look at this verse, Daniel 2:43. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Whoever they are, they're not of the seed of men. There's something other than that, and they're going to mingle with the seed of men. But it says they'll not cleave to one another. Does that mean they won't marry each other? I think that's what the word means. So, well, who could this they be? Well, all of a sudden, here's this word they in there. There don't seem to be written there regular humans because it says they're going to mingle with the seeds of men. Who are they? Jesus was asked this question by his disciples. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? Now, first they're asking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But then the sign of the coming, the end of the world. His first warning, take heed that no man deceive you. And he talked about wars and rumors of wars and false prophets and things. But then he said this, his last warning, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Most commentators would tell you that just means that things were going on as normal. That's what I used to think. I don't anymore. I think Jesus is describing a marriage feast. Was anything different going on before the flood? And was anything different about the marriages? Well, he said just before he comes back, there's going to be stuff like that happening here on the earth. On an X-Files TV program, it spoke of children produced by aliens mating with humans. They called the children Nephilim. Isn't that interesting? This is in the Golan Heights area of Israel. See this structure here? This is a huge structure. I forgot how many tons, they said, of rock has gone into this structure. It's called the Circle of Giants in Gilgal-Rephaim. The 5,200-year-old monument believed by some to have been built by the biblical giants, also called Nephilim, the fallen ones. How about these? How about the pyramids? Could these have been also built by the Nephilim? Folks, these pyramids, the huge structures that were perfectly arranged, not off a degree, north, south, east, or west, the layers put together, not off a degree, and there's passageways pointing towards certain constellations that show up at certain times. And whoever built them not only had superior intellect, superior strength, but knew what was out there. high increase of UFO activity started in Israel about 1993. Has there been a return of those that produced the Nephilim in Israel? That's what this book I have called Return of the Giants. This Israel, you can make a guy from the Jewish man thinks. How about UFOs in Hollywood? Hollywood has often been a willing partner in propaganda for our own government. For example, the patriotic movies that came out during World War II. Much disinformation is given out through Hollywood also, from UFO cover-ups to pro-evolution propaganda. I believe Satan is using Hollywood to condition minds to set the stage for his grand finale, his long war against God. From movies about witchcraft, half-human and half-machine creatures, alien invasions, people are being conditioned to accept just about anything. Do you know Superman was an alien? We don't think much about that, do we? Are we experiencing a well-orchestrated brainwashing? Well, I think we are. In an attempt to make us believe in a possible coming invasion from outer space. Implanting and harvesting of human fetuses appears to be the primary topic of alien abduction stories. Could this be leading up to a repetition of the strange events of Genesis 6? There are hundreds of reports of women, young women, claiming to have been abducted by aliens and impregnated. Then later on, they said whoever did this came back and took the unborn child out of their body. What is going on? Why all these interests in fetuses? I want to connect some dots for you. We have the UFO phenomenon. Well, I think it's satanic deception. I really believe it is. There's too much evidence there. All this evidence about the parallels and things, I believe there's a satanic deception going on. Well, who is the ones that Satan uses today in his warfare? Fallen angels and demons. And I think you can connect those to the sons of God in Genesis 6, which takes us back up to fallen angels and demons. And then we have the alien beings. Let's see, who could they be? Well, we know they're connected to the UFO phenomenon. Well, let me see. Satan is doing it, and here's who he uses. Wow, I wonder who they could be. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's getting close, folks. We don't have to be worried about this. But you need to understand who your enemy is. You need to understand what he's doing. The better you understand your enemy, the better you can go to battle against him. The battle is for the mind of people. He's conditioning minds for what is grand finale against God. We need to use this information and let as many people know as we possibly can what's going on in the world. They need to understand Satan is doing this. There's so much evidence there, I think we can convince a lot of folks. There's a battle going on. Our eternal destiny depends upon our relationship with the winner of this cosmic conflict. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And there's only two types of people in the world, saved and lost. But there's a remedy for being lost. Praise the Lord, His blood washes whiter than snow. And by simple faith that even a small child can understand, we can place our faith in the Creator who not only created this whole world, but died for us, paid for our sins, wants to be not only our Redeemer, but our best friend and our Savior. And He's got it all in control. I mean, I know He's sitting up there laughing at some of the things Satan is trying to do, but there's so many people being deceived by these lies. Their eternal destiny depends on who they believe God is. And this whole thing about salvation and the gospel message, they're being taught a false gospel message today. These people in New Age, all these UFO idiots going around, believing all this nonsense about Jesus just being a spaceman. So we need to get the word out there, folks. I hope this will be helpful to you. So many Christians have questions about this UFO thing. Some just try to dismiss it while there's really nothing going on. No, there is something going on. We need to be aware of what the enemy is doing. We need to be prepared, and we need to warn as many people as we can, because time is short, eternity is long, and hell is real. Pastor.
Now that's a lot of information. Those of you that were here 25 years ago, I taught that out of Genesis chapter 6 in the gymnasium while they were building this building. Went through all those verses, went through all those words and terms, and gave you all the definitions for them. I believe the angelic view of Genesis chapter 6. Have for some time. I think the devil has done a great job of lulling people to nonchalance about this thing of the supernatural. We feel like if we can't see it, it's not real. That's foolish. We believe a lot about God that we can't see. Just as there's a real God, there's a real Satan. And we haven't come to grips with the fact that God has allowed him to have much power. A whole bunch of power. You look at all this stuff, this UFOs, these aliens, these spacecrafts. What has that has fallen under the category that we know as what? Science? Is it all fiction? It's not all fiction. Not all fiction at all. Now, I'll tell you what scares me more than anything, for you parents with young kids, is these video games. That scares me to death. Conditioning the minds, all this wild, crazy, alien-type creatures and everything. It just, I don't want that in my house. I sit right back there in that conference room after a Sunday morning service. I wouldn't even tell you the conversation took place in that room with a lady that visited the church this morning who came down here and stood right there. I need to talk to you. Right down there. And I had a witness in that office with me. I wouldn't tell in this mixed audience what she said back there in that room. Hair stood up on the back of my neck. And like Brother Edgeworth said, sometimes it's a case of what they think it happened in their mind. But I want to tell you something. Satan's real and powerful. And that's why I think it's a foolish thing to live in this day and age for a child of God, apart from that book right there. You've got to be in that book every day. I bet over in Kenya they got some wild things, Brother Bowman. Probably far more than what we've seen here in the States. Some really strange things. You young people especially are growing up in a world that's fast approaching the coming of Jesus Christ. If you think things have been bizarre in the past, you better fasten your seatbelt. What are they going to say when all the Christians disappear here someday? What's the world going to say? What's the world going to think? What's going to be their explanation? All you folks, all you men at work, you're just going to disappear. Don't come to work. They call your house. There's no answer. Disappeared off the face of the earth. So did his wife. So did their children. They're gone. But they got to come up with some explanation, folks. They're not going to say, hey, the rapture, we're all left. It's very real. I'm glad I'm plugged into the right book. I'm glad I'm plugged into the right God. I would be afraid to live in this day and age without being grounded in this book right here. And I mean being in it every day and trying to face life on my own without the help of the dear Lord God. Amen. Big thing is that you're saved and you know it. You're on your way to heaven. Have no fear. The Spirit, the Bible says, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But that doesn't mean that we deny something that we can't see. There's a lot that we can't see that's real. Very real. Heard a preacher say years ago after I first got saved, if our eyes could be open to the supernatural world around us, we'd run to our rooms, pull the covers on our head, wouldn't come out. We'd be scared to death. I believe that. Bow our heads in prayer tonight. Thank you, Brother Edgeworth. Let me ask the question. Are you saved? Is there somebody here tonight who would say, Pastor Angel, I don't know about my eternal destiny. If salvation is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is not through church membership, a baptistry, a sacrament. It is not through a communion service or some extraterrestrial experience. Salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm not sure that if I died tonight, I would spend eternity in heaven. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me call your name to the Lord tonight. I won't call your name publicly, but pray for you. Anybody like that tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Can I pray for you tonight? while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, see a small child's hand. Anybody else? Our Father, I pray that You'll bless us tonight. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to take this information. I pray that, God, You'll help us to look to heaven. I pray that You'll help us to be in our Bibles. I pray that You'll help us to walk more closely with You. I pray that You'll help us, Lord, with our kids. Lord, especially in this day and age of all this mysticism and these emphasis on the aliens and these creatures and all this to lull our minds to think it's just make-believe. Father, I pray that You'll help us to know the book. You said in Daniel chapter 11, when the end time comes, they that do know their God shall be strong. I pray, God, You'll make us people of the book. I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to develop a life that's in tune with You and Your principles and Your truth. Thank You that we can live victoriously for You in this day and age and turn our friends to righteousness by being a witness for Christ. Help us ever to be them in these last days. We'll thank You for it. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us.